Welcome to E-Commerce Matters. E-Commerce Matters is the world's leading e-commerce pricing podcast brought to you by Black Curve. Each episode explores how retailers can better understand competitor pricing and use pricing insights to improve Google shopping performance. This is episode 52, entitled What You Need to Know About Google Shopping Conversion. I'm Philip Huthwaite, founder and CEO at Black Curve. I'm joined as ever by Dr. Rob Horton, Chief Product Officer at Black Curve. Let's get pricing. Welcome, Rob. You need to still be a bit secretive today, okay, remember? because we're about to tell the world more information about our new free product that will support retailers improve Google shopping conversion, which is handy because that's the topic that we're talking about.
We should just start calling this the Secrets Podcast because I wasn't allowed to say anything last week either in case I gave away our how we did all the product matching. One before, actually.
I mean, neither of us generally like... Based on the time that I've known you, we don't really like having secrets because I don't really like keeping secrets from other people. I think we've done pretty well so far about keeping it tight-lipped. But I mean, in terms of the name for the new product, we might be keeping it tight-lipped because we might not necessarily have decided on what the name is at this stage. But so suggestions on a postcard.
The brand team is still working.
Or haven't we?
Exactly. We've got internal working names, but we're market testing them currently.
I have to do a shout out to our chairman Martin Fincham because basically he said to me, whatever name you have picked, you're not allowed to choose it and you need to share other, you can't be a dictator on this and you have to share the options with other people. So therefore I purposely haven't told other people what my favorite one is so that potentially nobody knows what it is and then it gets picked. So I'll know in a few weeks whether or not he's actually listened to this podcast, because if he's listened to his shout out or not, so I can report back in a future podcast episode. So are you ready to be secretive, or are you ready to share about Google shopping conversion, Rob?
Well, we could talk about it, can't we? It's just we don't have to be that secretive because we are about to release something, right? It's just the dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
Absolutely. So let's get going. So today we're going to cover the typical Google shopping journey of both the merchant and the end consumer, I guess, just to set the scene for the podcast today. We'll cover some of the fundamentals of Google shopping optimization that are missed, that are hampering your conversion on that platform. And that's really the meat and potatoes of today's podcast. What are retailers missing? Why are they not getting optimal performance? Why are they not getting the conversion that they should be out of Google shopping? And then that tees us up quite nicely to introduce Black Curve's new free product offering that will support with getting over these issues with your Google shopping and to improve the conversion and the performance of that whole ecosystem. So let's start with setting the scene, shall we, Rob?
Why should you care about Google shopping is a very good question. I think we care a lot, not just because we're on it, but the stats vary, but it's something about like 86% of search goes through Google. Something of that order of magnitude. And if you're searching for a product, to find a product like most people are, you're either going to Amazon or Google probably. And if it's a branded good, you're probably just going to bang it into Google, to be honest with you, because Amazon's done less well at that recently, interestingly. So if I'm Rob and I want to buy
what product are you going to pick today?
I bought a Sage coffee grinder, Philip. That's what I bought recently.
Now you're getting posh in your old age.
I am. It's actually saves me money in the long term due to my levels of coffee consumption. But the first thing I do is I Google that product, right? Or I Google coffee grinders because I'm doing a bit of a broader search. And then I'll get some blogs and reviews and find the one I want. And then I'll Google that specific product. to see who's selling it and how much it costs. Now, when I land on a page, I get two things for that product, really. I get the kind of carousel ads at the top, which are sponsored, and then I've got the organic underneath. And now this is really the point where Google Shopping becomes super important, because if I'm a canny consumer, I can then drill immediately into Google Shopping and compare prices directly. So I could see, I'm not going to name companies, but company A is selling it for 200 quid, company B is selling it for 190, company Z is selling it for 145, but I don't have no idea who company Z are, so maybe I don't want to go the cheapest. But the great thing that Google does is it kind of lines up the entire marketplace in front of you, right? And then from there, I kind of click through a couple of links, check out the right product and buy it. And we know that that kind of first result, or if you're on Amazon, it would be a buy box, is super important. And probably, they don't like to give the numbers out, but again, it's probably responsible to 70 to 80% of conversion. So if you're a merchant, you really care about, or should really care about Google Shopping. You may not like it, but you should care about it, because a huge volume of search traffic and sales will be coming through that channel.
Yeah, there's various ways. You've mentioned that those products get aggregated by Google. You've touched upon the ads carousel at the top, and that is less directly influenced by price, although your price mm-hmm. point may determine how much you have to bid for that particular position. But that's effectively, you know, an auction over how much you're prepared to pay to get that click at that point in the day. And then the organic element, as you mentioned, is under the fold, under the carousel inside Google Shopping, and you'll either appear as an individual picture in Google Shopping, or what Google does very handily for the canny shopper is group everybody selling that product, everybody it's managed mm-hmm. to aggregate underneath compare X prices link. So you can actually click through that to that link, and you can then handily, easily sort, filter, see really quickly everybody who's selling your, was it a Sage? It was Sage, wasn't it? Or have I made
yeah,
that up?
Yeah,
everyone who's
yeah,
selling yeah. your Sage coffee machine.
Smart Grinder Pro.
Oh, sorry, Grinder Pro. There we go. You got the product code for us, or is that?
Probably somewhere. It's got a barcode on it. I've got a funny story with that. I'll tell you afterwards, but I'm not going to put it on the internet.
Okay, fine. So it's, so Google is working hard to be as relevant as possible, and that is a typical, whilst you know we're making sweeping statements here, I'm sure lots of people use Google in slightly different ways. Some of us might just, you know what, we're so biased to purchasing from, I don't know, John Lewis or Argos that we actually go to Argos first and see the product there and buy it. Some of us, God forbid, go straight to Amazon and do the same and don't bother doing much searching for other products. But, you know, 86% of us, the stats don't lie, are going to Google Shopping first. And that journey is typically broad. First of all, you've done your reviews. You therefore then become more specific, especially in this day and age where we're more price conscious. And you do that research as to who, if it's a branded good, you know, you're more likely to buy it. You're more likely to buy it from the cheapest supplier, assuming that they are reputable enough, or they've worked hard at getting enough reviews, or they've got that social proof. Or alternatively, if you're a bit of a maverick, you might take a roll of the dice recently, which I, do you know what, I have done actually. I needed to buy I'm clearly not very romantic, because for Valentine's Day I bought my other half some walking leggings, so it's not particularly romantic, but I actually, you know, found the Patagonia walking leggings that I wanted to purchase, and I just bought it from the don't tell Helen this, I bought it from the cheapest place. They were pretty expensive, Patagonia.
Helen
leggings.
Really needs to just listen to the podcast to find out where you're getting her presents from.
I did my research, and I found it from a cheaper place, and I'd never heard of them from Adam, but you know what, it turned up the next day, no problem. And so do have trust in the weird and wonderful businesses that are out
and
there.
This is This is like an aside, but this is a real powerful thing if you're a smaller retailer about Google Shopping, is that you get the same eyeballs on you than the bigger companies. So say you think, well, they can't reduce their margins as much as me. We're a more efficient business. You can maybe grab a bit of market share off them just by using Google Shopping, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have known them from Adam. I mean, I think they were based right up in the north of the country. Nothing wrong geographically, but you know, they do actually have a bricks and mortar store. So I haven't necessarily stumbled across them.
Tell me you're Southern without telling me you're Southern.
But yeah, I hadn't stumbled across. Well, my other half is from Bury, Manchester. So I do have some connections that way. But you know, they were based pretty much in the Scottish borders. Never even, you know, I wouldn't have stumbled upon that particular bricks and mortar store because I hadn't been to that part of the country before. And I just, you know, you simply put the product in and, oh, you know, this outdoor company is selling this product. Cool. Okay. They've got some reviews. Okay. They have a bricks and mortar store. Okay, cool. Let's give them a go. Let's see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? I put it on my Amex, so I've got insurance, you know, so what's the worst that can happen? I'm told, although I won't spoil you with my other insurance stories, so I'll save that for another day. Looks like we've got two stories to take offline here today.
Yeah, Rob. Exactly.
We really are teasing the listeners. So we've kind of covered the Google Shopping experience from the end consumer perspective. What's the journey, and we're going to sort of gloss over quite a lot at pace here and just kind of give you the high level view. What's the typical merchant journey on Google Shopping?
Yeah, I mean, this is not going to be technical at all or probably fully correct, just to flag, but realistically, from Google are really trying to optimize this as much as possible because they want you listed and they want you advertising, because then they get a cut of it and they get your advertising money basically. So the more you convert, the more likely you are to advertise. So they try and make that as simple as possible. And really what it comes down to is setting up a feed, which is a list of your products from wherever you kind of store those. And then you pump that up into Merchant Center. And then you connect that to your adverts. And most people now just run, I mean, Google is really basically pushing you to use their automatic, I guess, bidding strategies for it. I guess mostly because then they're in control of it and can black box and take more money off you. And then for the final bit of the journey off to, and that gets your products basically up in Google and listed, depending on your bidding, in the carousel or at various positions in the sponsored bits, and hopefully aggregated so people can find you in the bits that we mentioned earlier. And then a lot of work either by agencies or by internal marketing teams is then spent kind of optimizing that PPC, so trying to apply slightly different strategies to different segments of the inventory. So if things are competitive, for example, in our world it would be if you can be competitive on certain products, they've got a bit of a, you might want to put a bit of a tailwind behind them with some more advertising spend. And conversely, if you're too expensive and you know you can't really compete and it is price sensitive, you can dial down that advertising. So that's really a high level, the merchant day-to-day journey. It's kind of getting the feed set up and then optimizing it to try and maximize that advertising performance.
So Google knows, you know, what products you're selling. It's got all of your images so that it can surface those images inside the Google Shopping ecosystem. It knows where to direct end consumers to once they click visit site or once they click on the image. It knows the product name, it knows the description, it knows the GTIN, the code, so it can hopefully group your product correctly when somebody searches for that product, and we'll go into that in a bit more detail in a moment. And that's really what it's doing. When we talk to most agencies around this optimization journey, so I mentioned digital marketing agencies, a lot of the time because of the way that the automated bidding is being done on ads, most of the setup that they're doing is around things like, what country do I want to bid in? What time of day do I want to bid in? There's some input in terms of disallowing certain keywords. You'll probably spend time setting up things like IP blocking and so forth to make sure that you're not getting spammed by bots on your search terms. And then by and large, what they're doing is they are segmenting the products into certain categories so that the automated bidding can be applied differently on certain parts of your product in portfolio. So it might be simply turn these products off. That's bucket one or group one of products. It might be creating a bucket which is fast moving products, so the ones that are selling really well. So you know you might need to be more conscious over how you might they might be your focus for your bidding to sort of double down on the performance. And then it might be slow moving products as another bucket, so you can again decide, am I going to put a small number of my ads budget against those, or you know, can I use my ads budget to start to shift some of these slow moving products to increase the visibility? So, you know, we're covering a lot of ground there. There's a lot more to it than that. But hopefully that's sort of, if you're a retailer, that resonates with the type of journey that you're going through or the type of journey you've gone through with your particular digital marketing agency or equivalent if it's done in-house. And if you're not, hopefully we've set the scene in terms of what the Google shopping journey is for both end consumer and the merchant. So this is where we start to get into the meat and potatoes of today's podcast. You know, what are retailers missing that drives conversion? What are they typically not optimizing for? What's the first thing that's actually a bit of a surprise to retailers?
Yeah, this one I think was pretty astounding, maybe not even too strong a word when we came across this, but I think maybe it's because of the sheer volume of products that people we're working with are selling, is that they often don't know that whether they're listed on Google or not. And what that means is that if I search for a product as a customer, do I actually find you, whether that be as a listing or kind of as an advert? And there isn't really a very good way of telling that. And obviously, if you're not listed there, you're going to be losing for specific product or sets of products. You're going to be losing sales because people won't be driven through to your website, or people won't be buying from you. So that's pretty problematic. And we worked out that because of a load of other stuff that we're doing, we can actually spot pretty well whether you are listed or not. So we can actually measure that for you and give you kind of a percentage of your inventory that we found on Google Shopping versus not. So that's a very kind of existential issue that's really worth highlighting and drilling into and trying to fix immediately before you even get to the kind of advertising optimization or all the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a simple concept, right? So Google tells you typically inside Merchant Center that, right, feed is good, all green, all products visible. But I've lost count of the amount of retailers that I've spoken to going, hang on, fit it in the competitor data. I can't actually see myself against these products. Okay. And that's because whilst Google is inside Merchant Center is telling you that that your product feed is good, for one reason or another, and we'll go into that in a bit more detail on the next question, you're not actually being surfaced to end consumers when they search for that particular product. And if people can't find you, well, you're not going to get the click throughs, and if people can't find you, you know, you're not going to sell that product. It's quite very simple.
And it's worth saying it is slightly nuanced, because and we'll go into this in a minute and kind of how you fix it, but you may well be there and be listed, but it's whether Google can connect the dots between what you've listed and what everyone else has listed and the search term, right?
Yeah, so you may come up, against a completely different or a slightly different product name to what you thought that you'd come up against. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is a suitable time to ask the question about why end consumers can't find you. So you are there on the search. It's just that Google's not managing to categorize you correctly, aggregate you correctly, and therefore surface you in the relevant search term. It's actually surfacing you in a search term that's not relevant for that product. So by that very nature as well, if you're being surfaced for a not relevant search term, that end consumer that's searching for you is just simply, oh, that's not what I want, and is not gonna click through to you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's gonna affect your conversion.
Yeah, exactly. So why is it that Google's telling me that the feed is good, but you're not actually visible? What are the reasons that the end consumers can't find?
Most of them are pretty simple. Most of them are just down to the data quality or the data for your products not being either well looked after or being incorrect. So we did my mind's got a bit fuzzy, but we did a podcast on product matching not long ago, and we mentioned that Google are doing exactly the same thing, and they are. So obviously I think Google has been listening to our podcast because they seem to have taken up Philip's drum for GTINs. but primarily I'm not going to go into all the ways and what it's for, so you can download the free product when it's out and check it. But it's really just like the easiest way for everyone to aggregate products is through barcodes or GTINs, because then you know that is an exact like for like match. There's nothing.
It's an exact match. It's not like for like. It's exact.
Sorry, yeah, exact match. And there's nothing like fancy about it. It's the barcode the same on all these products, right? Okay, happy days. We can say they're all the same product. And as soon as you move away from that GTIN match, it all becomes a bit murky. But primarily, the issues for not being listed come down to missing data or inaccurate data. Likewise, if your stock data isn't up to date, if you've got zero stock, you probably won't be listed, because Google obviously doesn't like to list things that won't convert. If you haven't got GTINs and they're using things like product name, brand, website links, letting the crawlers work correctly through your website, all of that good stuff. If any of that's incorrect, it's going to get harder and harder for them to kind of say that basically this product is relevant or this product is the same as these other products. So it really just comes down to data quality a lot of the time.
And these are the data points that Google's using to aggregate you. So these are the data. If you're selling a branded good, so let's continue with your example, right? If you're selling that Sage coffee grinder, I'm going to make up the code Z7225, okay? Right?
Okay.
If you're selling that particular Sage coffee grinder, if each retailer is in their feed to Google Merchant Center saying that this is the GTIN for that product, this is the brand, it's a Sage, this is the product name for it, therefore Google's got all the information, it can quickly see, right, yeah, competitor A, competitor B, competitor C, competitor D, this is the same product, they're all surfacing. What I'm going to do is when somebody searches for that particular item, I'm going to surface all of those competitors for that product. And also what I'm going to do is I'm going to aggregate them together under this compare X shops link, so that the end consumer, mm-hmm. The canny end consumer can quickly go into that particular search area of Google search and see it all in a simple table, and then decide, well, I'm going to click through to the one that looks the best to me, with the most reviews or the cheapest or whatever criteria bias, psychological bias we've had historically in our own buying journeys. I'm going to then click through using that data. Okay, so to come back to full circle, if you've not provided Google with those data points, you are not going to be aggregated, and therefore you're not going to appear there. And if you're not going to appear there, you're not going to get, you've got no chance of anybody clicking
through.
You've
got a problem. Yeah.
Okay. The great thing is these are, it's quite tricky to find out, and we'll touch upon how Black Curve can take away that pain and really simply, easily, even for free, make this available to you. But the great thing is that once you have the ability to do that, these are really simple fixes that just require some time and energy to get right. Okay, so it may be a case of if you're missing some GTINs, you need to sling an email to your supplier and go, hey supplier, can you give me the product codes for these products, and then you can update them in your merchant center or wherever your feeds work, or actually a lot of the time it's simply I've missed the brand, and it's generally because at some point in the Excel world I've been living in to create my feed, I forgot to copy and paste or drag down the cells correctly. So things like missing brand names, that's really easy for us to sort ourselves, because you'll know the products, you'll know the brand, so you can put that information in. And there are also a whole host of other data points that drive it, and that Black Curve will flag to you that are missing, and we'll go into that in a bit more detail. But this is critical to sort, really, really critical to sort, because you're spending so much money with Google, okay, right? And you're giving Google your credit card, you're giving Google your hard-earned revenue to get those paid for advertising, but also you want to get your organic click-throughs working really well for you as well, and this is how you can do it. So get these simple data points sorted, and you know we're not going to go too much into it at this stage, but it all feeds into the whole pot of, it's almost like a self-perpetuating optimization journey, right? So the more you improve your data points, the more Google thinks that your domain is relevant, the better Google thinks you are. So therefore, the more wider search terms that people do, such as, you know, coffee grinder, just generic search term, or Sage coffee grinder, the more chance you have of winning that impression, because Google thinks that, right, you're on your data, you're hot, you're good, you've worked hard on your SEO, therefore you're more likely to get the impressions. The more impressions you get, the more click-throughs you get, and then this again has a knock-on effect to your advertising. So the more relevant Google thinks you are, the lower you actually have to spend for that cost per acquisition, because Google's really on the side of the end consumer, okay? They want to surface the best search results to the end consumer, despite them taking you know the retailer's money to do so. So therefore, the easier you make it to surface relevant results to the end consumer, they're kind of giving you a bit of quid pro quo and saying, right, retailer, therefore you're not going to have to spend as much to get to win. Well, that particular search
term. Not just that as well, because there is a win-win there, right? In that the more accurately, certainly at this stage when we're talking about data, the more accurately that Google can tell what the product is you're selling, the better they can target it, so you're likely to get more conversion, right? Because I think we all have that experience of kind of being served adverts that we're never going to convert on or click through to or on all the rest of it. And largely it's because the strategies are kind of too broad brushstrokes. So you're getting served adverts that don't necessarily apply to your demographic. And it's the same thing that maps across with this data. If I'm searching for, if you take an extreme example, if I'm searching for Sage coffee grinders and you've mislabeled your GTINs, so I'm actually getting served up, I don't know, dishwashers, I'm never going to convert on that. And so that optimizing that data feed actually will not just you be penalized or charged less in the bidding algorithm, it'll also should lead to better conversion because the ads being served up to the end consumer are more relevant.
So it's absolutely win-win, okay? And if I haven't stressed it strongly enough, you know, these are
sort your data out.
These sort your data out, okay? But don't worry, Black Curve's here to help. So and we are a pricing podcast, so how much is price position in the market holding back conversion too?
Well, this is the, if we think all the way back to about the start of the podcast when we talked through that buyer journey. Okay, I've got there, I've found you listed, but you're also listed, it's a market, place and you're listed against a load of other shops, why should I buy from you over anyone else, right? And it's quite simply at that point, price is a major factor in conversion. Because if you're wildly expensive, again, if I take an extreme example that we do see, if you're almost like 50% more expensive than the market is, the average price in the market, you're going to be sacrificing conversion. And often we see that that is more due to people focusing on, or not focusing on, I should say, large chunks of their inventory due to just time constraints, rather than actual business constraints forcing them to be that expensive. So really what tends to happen is the market moves and you don't keep up with it, and all of a sudden you're quite adrift price wise and then that directly affects your conversion, because when I'm comparing shop A with shop B, if something's 20% cheaper, I'm going to go with that, right? So in that case, it's hugely impactful. Not less for earlier parts of the buying journey, although obviously like a good, better, best thing is relevant, but really just at the point of conversion, why should they buy from me rather than someone else? I think it becomes quite powerful.
Yeah, if you're much more expensive than the next nearest competitor, people are going, hang on a minute, that's ridiculous. You know, you might be John Lewis or you might be Argos, but I don't want to spend £100 more or £50 more to buy that particular product. Well, you might, but I'm sure you're in the minority there. And conversely, you know, if you're too expensive, if you're too cheap rather, your conversion's probably pretty good. But actually being the cheapest doesn't always mean that you are number one in the list. Okay, because what we've alluded to earlier, you know, if Google doesn't think you're as relevant a search result for that particular product, you might not be number one. And then that means that you're not going to convert as well, especially if, you know, you're not as a canny shopper. So not a lot of people know that once you click compare X shops, you open up the table. Not a lot of people know that you can actually click that grid and sort it A to Z and Z to A. So it means that you can see the cheapest to the most expensive and the most expensive to the cheapest. So there's a top tip there as well. If you're,
yeah, I think I don't do that. So
annoyingly, for some reason, you couldn't when I last looked. You can't sort A to Z on the actual retailer, on retailer name, which I thought was. I'm sure that's a bit of an oversight, but
I think that is probably an edge case use case for us trying to do some kind of data comparison, whereas most consumers
maybe I was trying to search for a particular retailer and there was about five different pages to go through, so I thought I'd speed up my efforts by doing that. So I was foiled by the user experience of Google Shopping there in that particular example. So without further ado, we've spoken about it long enough. Shall we introduce our free yet to be named version of Black Curve? although when we publish this podcast, I think we'll have actually named it. So I'll have to do some post edit overlay of insert name free version of Black Curve.
The big reveal of
so. What do I actually get with the free version of Black Curve? I mean, it will be available in all the usual places. So you'll be able to access it via the Shopify App Store. You'll be able to access it via Black Curve's website by clicking it's currently the call to action is try for free, but it will probably change that call to action related to the fact that you can get a free version of
the platform forever. Oh, you can still try it for free, and then you can continue to have it for free. So yeah,
that's exactly it. So what do I actually get with this free version of Black Curve, Rob?
Yeah, so basically it's kind of an additional product offering to what we're doing already. And what it is a tool that that highlights all the issues we've spoken about today. So, what all you do, same as actually with all our product suite, is that, but in this case in particular, if you connect your product feed to it, ideally Merchant Center in this case, and then we'll go away and get busy. well, the machine will do it. And then it will highlight all the products, all your listings that we can find on Google, and highlight the products that we can't find. It will suggest why this might be the case and the actions that you need to do to correct that. And then we'll also highlight where we think you're not competitively priced as well, and where that may be impacting conversion. So super, super powerful tool, absolutely free. All you need to do is make an account and connect your merchant center, and then it will fix your data feed and highlight any price changes that we think you should make.
Well, that's it. Should we end?
Yeah, done. Remember.
It's fundamentally, it's asking, you know, those questions of, can I be found? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes or no. If I can be found, great. If I can't be found, why can I not be found? And we'll flag to you the reasons why you can't be found. So I'm missing a GTIN. Am I missing a brand name? Am I missing, is my product name crap, and so forth and so forth. And then it's this pricing question of how much is price hampering how is price meaning that I'm not competitive? So if I'm not competitive, I'm unlikely to get that click through. Okay. Now, it's fair to say we're not giving the complete keys to the castle away. Okay. So this is a stripped down version of Black Curve. So we will start to flag to you areas for you to look at. So absolutely, during the platform, you will get the ability to see where you have opportunities to improve your data feed. Okay. But from a pricing perspective, I've said tease a lot in this particular podcast.
But we're
effectively going to flag to you where you're competitive and not competitive. But in order for you to get more information on that, so to work out who the competitors are, to work out, you know, what is the difference between you and those competitors, and all of those really clever reports that help you to start ask the question around, well, actually, what price position do I need to be in the market? Because as I alluded to earlier, you don't necessarily always have to be the cheapest to get the best position inside Google. Therefore, you need to opt for a paid version. But I hope that with the free version, especially if you're the start of your pricing journey, or especially if you haven't looked at optimizing your Google Shopping channel historically, that end users will get real value out of this platform. And that's why I'm really passionate about helping retailers improve their Google Shopping performance. And I've been banging on about the GTIN train for many years now about why people should optimize their GTIN. So I've thought it only right that we offer a free version so that we get more and more people, we give people less of an excuse to sort their GTINs out, and less of an excuse as to, oh, it's difficult.
I just want to jump in. It's also, you also still get to trial the whole product for free for 14 days. So you can spin it up, see where the issues are, and really drill into the issues. And then obviously these things are continual, markets move continually. So starting for kind of, I don't know, around £130 a month, you can then get the full suite of software. So you hopefully will be able to see, okay, these are the issues in Google Shopping. I can see the rest of the product suite really helps me solve those issues. And then for not much of a step, or not much money, you can have a really powerful piece of software to solve those problems.
We also realize that everyone's not necessarily ready for that. So the free version will be there for as long as you need it. Okay. And when you're ready to get the power out of competitor pricing, and especially if you're selling branded goods, I'd strongly encourage you to go to that next level, that tracker level, because whilst, okay, you've optimized your Google feed, you will get huge benefit there, you will start to see improved conversion, you're going to hit the glass ceiling, and the next glass ceiling is, am I competitive, and what does my competitive position need to be? And you can only do that with tracker.
Yeah, exactly.
In summary, what you need to know about Google Shopping conversion was today's title. And really what you need to know is that you need to be visible in order to get those click-throughs. And Google actually itself in the Google Merchant Center doesn't make it easy to see Am I being surfaced correctly under the right search terms? And Black Curve has a free product out of the box, plug and play, click in your merchant feed, start a free trial on the Black Curve platform, connect up your Shopify account, and in a few clicks, you can get access to this data, which tells you where are you actually not visible on Google Shopping. And the best bit about it, it shows you why you're not visible on Google Shopping. And the even better bit about it is, I've not told you already, is it's free. Okay, so you can get this platform, you can get it today, and get clicking, get real value about it. Because, hey, if you're not visible, you're not going to earn any revenue from that product. As soon as you start getting visible for that particular search term, for those particular products, you increase your chances of somebody seeing you, you increase your chances of click-through, you increase the chances of revenue. Okay, from a pricing perspective, okay, Google Shopping is a highly competitive marketplace where multiple retailers are vying for the attention of potential customers. If you can get access to the free version of Black Curve, which starts to show you where you're competitive and where you're not competitive, it will start to allow you to stay competitive by ensuring that your product prices are attractive compared to similar offerings from other sellers. Okay. From a buyer behavior perspective, price is a significant factor in consumer buying decisions. Understanding how pricing impacts conversion rates helps you determine the optimal price points that entice customers to make a purchase. Okay. By aligning your pricing strategy with buyer behavior, you can increase the likelihood of conversions. Right. Remember, you need to maximize your return on investment in the Google Shopping ecosystem because it operates on a pay-per-click model where you pay for each click on your product listing. Optimizing your pricing strategy ensures that you're getting the best return on investment for your advertising budget. If your price is too high, you'll receive fewer clicks, leading to wasted ad spend. On the other hand, if your prices are too low, you risk cutting into your profit margins. The free version of Black Curve, again, flags to you where you're uncompetitive and where you are competitive. So you can then start to focus on those uncompetitive products. Shoppers are savvy. They compare your prices. Google Shopping makes it super easy for shoppers to compare prices from various sellers. If your prices are higher than your competitors for the same or similar products, potential customers are likely to choose a cheaper option. By having competitor prices, you increase the likelihood of winning that click. Winning that click increases your chances of a potential sale. Black Curve, if I've not said it already, the free version helps you identify at a top line view where you're competitive and where you're not competitive. In terms of ad performance, the Google Shopping algorithms take several factors into account to determine when and where your product appears. Okay, where your product appears and when your product appears is influenced by how good your data is. Okay, and we've mentioned GTINs, we've mentioned product names, we've mentioned brands. Get your data sorted, you're more likely to be surfaced on the relevant ads, and therefore also you're going to have to pay less for those particular ads. Ads with competitor pricing as well are more likely to be displayed prominently, leading to increased visibility and click-throughs. The free version of Black Curve will support you with this. And last but not least, relevance and quality score. So Google rewards ads that provide a positive user experience. If your product prices are relevant and competitive, if your product is relevant to those search terms, all of this feeds into positively impacting your ad's quality score. A higher quality score can result in better ad placements and lower cost per clicks, ultimately leading to the grand old improvement in conversion rates, which, let's face it, that's what we're all here for. We all want to improve our Google Shopping conversion, because we improve our Google Shopping conversion, we improve our revenues. And with that typically comes increased growth, more money to invest into our business, increased market share, happy managing directors, happy e-commerce directors, and more money into the Christmas party pot. So with that, I probably get told off for mentioning Christmas already, but we're already starting to think about that here at Black Curve to support people with their pricing journey.
If today's conversation is anything to go by, you've already got Helen's Christmas.
No comment. So. With that, check out our various social media posts that are going on at the moment. Check out our website. Look at the Shopify app store. Look at our website and click that free version. Give it a go. What have you got to lose? It's going to deliver you a hell of a lot of value to improve your conversion. And as a starter for 10, guess what? It's free. So we've been Black Curve. This has been E-commerce Matters, the world's leading e-commerce pricing podcast. Until next time, happy pricing.